the Government Affairs Update from ACEC for Friday, June 11th. Before we get into a very busy week in Washington, I want to recap two things that are happening next week. The first being the 54th Annual Engineering Excellence Awards, which will be broadcast at 3 o'clock Eastern on Thursday, the 17th. Registration is still open for this event. It's the premier celebration of engineering excellence. Join your colleagues for a fantastic virtual event that is just like being there for the in-person. You can register by going to acec.org, and it's going to be a great event again on the 17th of June, next Thursday. And before that, on the 15th, the ACEC Research Institute is holding its first ever prize drawing. It's a way to raise some funds to support the Institute's mission to remain the premier source of research and analysis for the engineering industry. And there are eight very unique prizes that are up for the potential to win, everything from a golf trip to a fishing trip to even test piloting our future robot overlord, Spot the Robot from Boston Dynamics, and Pappy Van Winkle, which is always hard to get. Take a look at acecresearchinstitute.org for raffle information. And again, that drawing is going to be live on the 15th at noon. Information to follow in the show notes. Two events, check them out. And with that, let's get back to our programming. This has been a very busy week. Today, we are coming off of a 19-hour markup of the Invest in America Act, which is the House Transportation and Infrastructure Committee's surface reauthorization bill, which will take the place of the FAST Act. This is a roughly $550 billion investment in infrastructure, $50 billion more than what the House passed last year, what the committee worked on last year. And hopefully it's the cornerstone of a larger package down the road. Matt Reifer, of course, our policy analyst on surface infrastructure, was watching the markup, which was interesting, to say the least, had a number of interesting amendments, 200 amendments total, I think. Matt, tell us about the bill and really, you know, where are we now compared to where we were, you know, even yesterday?
Yeah, Jeff. And before we even get into the surface reauthorization bill, let me also mention the TNI committee also approved a water infrastructure bill. They took about 2 hours to navigate that. It would provide $50 billion for clean water infrastructure, wastewater revolving loan fund, as well as a number of other grant programs. It's a bill that ACEC and a wide array of other groups strongly supported, so that the water component of the infrastructure agenda is moving forward as well. But yeah, the committee spent the better part of 17 hours on transportation policy and some amendments that were tangentially related, I would say. But the end result was approval on a vote of 38 to 26 of this reauthorization package, as you said, totaling $547 billion over 5 years.
Yeah, absolutely. And it was a bipartisan vote. Brian Fitzpatrick of Pennsylvania won, broke ranks and voted for approval of the bill. And I think there were maybe one or two other Republicans, I think, also.
Ms. Gonzalez-Colon from Puerto Rico. And there's quite a bit of funding in the bill for the Puerto Rico. So I think she was parochially interested in that. But on the whole, again, a bill that ACEC strongly supported. We endorsed the bill and encouraged members to vote in support. $343 billion over 5 years for roads, bridges, and safety programs, $109 billion for transit, and $95 billion for rail. Those are big increases across the board, as you indicated, a huge increase over the FAST Act, and the growth really in transit and rail programs, as you would expect from a Democratic-led bill.
As well as programmatic language in the bill on resilient infrastructure and dealing with a changing climate and all those issues that our member firms are dealing with on a day-to-day basis, kind of, you know, how do we build smarter for long-term growth and a better built environment. So overall, a good move towards getting something done on reauthorization.
Yeah, and let me also just one amendment that came up during the course of the debate, and we had expected this, and we rallied opposition. A congressman from California named John Garamendi offered an amendment that would have required that all construction engineering and inspection services be performed only by public employees, and essentially prohibit state and local agencies from contracting out with our members for these critical services. We alerted all the committee members and the committee chair and the ranking Republican to our strong opposition to that. We had constituent firms reaching out to the congressman explaining why it was a bad idea, and not just for them and for the small businesses that work on those projects, but for the agencies that we partner with. They just do not have the in-house capacity to take on that level of work. And with the funding levels envisioned in this bill, there's no way that they would be able to adequately staff up to perform those types of services. So we partnered with AASHTO and other groups, and thankfully the amendment was defeated by voice vote in the wee hours of the morning.
Yes. While our members sleep, ACEC advocacy is strong at work defeating amendments in the dead of night. And not to be too modest here, but you know, in the debate over the amendment, you know, when the chair opposed, they did use a lot of the points that Matt you wrote and with your team describe why it should not be accepted into the bill. So congratulations on that win.
Yeah, thanks. It was a good outcome. It was unfortunate that we even had to have that debate, but we're prepared and we'll continue to push back on those kind of bad ideas as the bill moves forward.
Absolutely. So Steve, I mean, where does this fit in the larger context here? Because we have, of course, the Senate's working on their own proposals. They already marked out EPW, their own surface bill, completely bipartisan vote, unanimously marked out. Now the House has acted. So where do we sit right now?
Well, we expect, Jeff, a vote in the House on this legislation before July 4th. I think the week of June 28th is the target for bringing this to the House floor. And certainly in the House, you know, process is important now. We need this legislation to advance it, with perhaps few exceptions. It's largely going to pass with Democratic votes. It's really not going to be too bipartisan, but, the House needs to pass something to go to conference with the Senate. So it, in the scheme of things, this is a good thing. Any progress is good. The Senate, is a little bit more complicated in that instead of one committee having jurisdiction over everything, three committees have jurisdiction over the various programs under the nation's surface transportation program. So EPW has done its part, a little over $300 billion for the highway piece. The Commerce Committee just released their piece earlier today. I believe that's $78 billion. That is safety and other programs. And the Senate Banking Committee has jurisdiction over transit. We expect, hopefully, that they'll release theirs sometime soon. And the goal in the Senate is to get all of these committee pieces done and to the Senate floor and hopefully cleared by the August recess. So if we can achieve these deadlines, if we can get the House to vote by July 4th, if we can get the Senate to vote before the August recess, that sets up time in August and into the early fall where they can actually start to talk about reconciling to the two bills and clearing a path for eventually sending a conference report to the White House. What remains to be seen, though, Jeff, is how does this fit into the larger conversation the White House is having, kind of in fits and starts right now with Congress over the president's jobs plan, sort of this larger, more ambitious infrastructure effort. And I don't know that they've figured that out yet. And so, in effect, we have kind of this two-track process. The president has sort of suspended talks with Shelley Moore Capito, who was sort of the official point person for Senate Republicans. But now we have a bipartisan group of 20 House and Senate Democrats that are working to cobble together a new bipartisan deal with the White House. So they're talking. This is a good thing. But then, you know, parallel to that, we have all of this work happening in the House and Senate committees to move a surface bill. These two tracks could merge. It could be that the surface bill becomes the thing that propels a larger infrastructure package over the goal line. So, like I said, you know, progress is good. The fact that committees are acting and prepared to act is good. And it sets us up, we hope, for a successful fall.
Yeah, absolutely. And that one thing that Chairman DeFazio did mention yesterday during markup was his intention of having a conference committee, an actual conference committee, as it was done in the past. You know, he always likes to look back to when he was a staffer and when he was, you know, first in Congress, of actually having a conference committee and reconciling the two bills. And of course, today, I guess the news, which is, you know, still being dissected, is that this, like you said, this new bipartisan group of senators are taking a look again at what could be the framework for a larger infrastructure push. And one of the issues that was brought up is potentially indexing the gas tax was brought up. It was an article about, you know, touching the gas tax for the first time since 1993. And that apparently that seems to be gaining a little bit of momentum, but you know, again, it's something that shows that people are still trying to figure out one way to get a path forward on a larger bill. So that hope springs eternal. And hopefully we do have movement. So the other issue that we've been very involved with is of course the PPP FAR credits issue, which, is our main, outside of infrastructure, one of our main policy priorities. Now, earlier in the week, we launched a formal communications campaign that is aimed at educating and getting to lawmakers on the Hill to explain exactly what this means for the engineering industry. And we have a website, which is now live. You just have to go to acec.org/PPP, and it will take you right to the campaign site. You'll also see a pop-up on our web, on our homepage, as well as activity on social. And if you picked up a actual paper copy of Politico on Tuesday morning, you saw a big print ad in the back of the edition on this campaign. So we are really getting loud on this issue. Steve, is there anything to update our audience on where we stand on the FAR credits clause?
Yeah, sure, Jeff. And that decibel level, rising decibel level, is well timed, because you know, our lobbying campaign is really coming to a head in terms of getting language attached to one of these infrastructure bills in the House. And we've been focusing on the surface transportation bill. A lot of meetings with lawmakers, a lot of meetings with committee staff. We have multiple committees involved. One of the recent wrinkles that we are working through is the question of jurisdiction. The problem is focused in the transportation sector. And so we know the fix needs to be in the surface transportation bill, but the House Small Business Committee has a piece of this, and the House Oversight Committee, which has jurisdiction over the FAR, has a piece of this. And so we've been doing meetings with committee councils for all three committees now for months. We need to sort out the question of jurisdiction in advance to when the Invest in America Act goes to the House floor in a couple of weeks, so that we can clear the way for some legislation that will either remove the problem altogether. We continue to argue for a waiver of the FAR credits clause, and continue to swim against the current on that issue. We continue to get pushback and to hear concerns that somehow this will permit double dipping if we just waive it altogether. We're going to continue to push that, but we also have some fallback ideas that we will use if it just becomes clear, at least for the purposes of the House bill, that a complete waiver is just not doable. At the end of the day, we want to get the best possible deal we can for our members. And so we're putting all of our resources into this. Right now, really focused on that effort that needs to happen between now and the end of this month when that surface bill goes to the House floor.
Absolutely. And until then, really encourage everyone to look at the campaign website and get involved, because it always helps to have business owners who are also constituents reaching out to their members of Congress to explain what this means to them on a nuts and bolts day-to-day business scenario, and to paint the picture, because this is a complex issue. And a lot of members aren't directly engaged or educated on contracting, overhead rates, things of that nature. So if you can boil it down and give a really simple, this is what it means to me and my employees, that helps move the ball. And we're going to keep on hitting it here in Washington on everywhere that we need to. But getting that support from our grassroots is critically important. So again, that's www.acec.org/PPP. Click to tweet a message of support, or send a message to your member of Congress and your representative and senator. So very, very, very active on a number of fronts here. Is there anything else going on that we need to cover? I mean, it's been very hectic on infrastructure and PPP. Anything else that you're working on that you want to make sure our audience is aware of?
Jeff, there's always a lot of issues, a lot of projects in formation involving our federal markets, environmental markets, the Superfund program, keeping a very close eye on various tax issues, some incentives percolating for green infrastructure and green buildings that obviously we have a great deal of interest in. And then just watching the conversation very closely along with our business community allies on, potential pay-fors for an infrastructure deal and the extent to which that involves reopening the 2017 tax law. We're going to stay very, very closely involved with that. We fought long and hard to make some significant achievements on behalf of the industry, and so we want to make sure that we protect those as we go forward. So there is a lot going on, a lot of opportunity, a lot of positive. We've got this PPP challenge to fix, but beyond that, really looking forward to having a good year for this industry.
Absolutely. And we will be there every step of the way, giving you guys updates on where we are and calls to action and resources to help in your own advocacy. So stay tuned. Steve and Matt, thank you again for taking time out of the day. I know a very busy week to join us. This has been, again, your Government Affairs Update for Friday, June 11th, 2021. We will see you next time.